everybody, and welcome to From the Mezzanine. I'm your host, Lindsay Stone, and let's get into this week's episode. What is up, everybody? How's everybody doing? I hope you had a fantastic week. I certainly did. I know it comes as no surprise to all of you people that the second I've gotten to New York, I think I've seen a Broadway show every single week, or at least seen something Broadway adjacent since I've started living here, and it's quite honestly the greatest thing ever, and I'm sure it'll get to the point where everything just becomes like normalized, but right now I am taking advantage of every single little morsel of an opportunity I have while I've been here, entering every lottery every single day, and I've had some luck with it, and we will get into that later because, guys, this is the Guide to the Broadway Lottery System episode. So stay tuned for a story from the stage because we will be diving into all of the little intricacies of how you can win lottery tickets to Broadway shows. There are multiple websites, multiple ways that you can enter in order to win these tickets. Now, they're not free. You have to pay. It's like a lottery ticket. You buy the lottery ticket and you might win and it might pay off. But a lot of times, probably 95% of the time, you won't win, but sometimes you'll be lucky, and we will get into all of it in our story from the stage in just a little bit. But this week was very fun because it was the last Broadway in Bryant Park, so very sad, but I'm so freaking happy that I even had the opportunity to go to these things because I remember last year watching the Broadway in Bryant Park performances with wide eyes and just saying, I will be there next year. I have to be there. I have to go. And then we planned our trip for June. And at that point, I hadn't planned on moving. And now I got to go to every single one. Oh, I didn't go to the very first one, but I've gone to every single one since then. Because the very first one, I don't even know that I knew that it was happening or something. I don't know why I missed it. Because they were all in, we moved in the first week of July. So we were probably like in the midst of moving in. Yeah. Because it would have been on that Thursday and we would have been here for 2 days. And so we didn't have any AC and it was utter chaos here. But since then, I've been able to go to every single one and it has been so fun and so enjoyable. And the crowd gets so into it and it's kind of come and go. Like you can grab a seat and then if you have to leave, like it's no big deal. You can head out after you see the performance you wanted to see or you could stay for the whole hour. It's only an hour. I thought it was like a whole day long Broadway and Bryant Park thing. No, it's just an hour. There's a pre-show that starts about like 12:20 and then it ends at 1:30 once everybody's performed. And so it's a really enjoyable time, especially if you're here in the city. It's just an easy thing that you can go and do. Go pick up some picnic lunch and go and sit in Bryant Park, which is arguably my favorite park. I love Central Park and I'm starting to love Prospect Park in the same way that I love Central Park. But Bryant Park, I don't know if it's because the library is there. It's so beautiful. That's definitely a part of it. Bryant Park is in Midtown. It's in a really lovely area and it's surrounded by gorgeous old buildings. And then of course there's the library there and there's the market and at Christmas time. And then there's like some little restaurants scattered around Bryant Park. So it's really like such a lovely little space. I absolutely love it. And so just to be able to go on my lunch break and hear Broadway performers, like, come on, that's the greatest thing ever. And so this week, I was ecstatic. I was nervous. I didn't know what was going to happen because Little Shop of Horrors was performing and Jeremy Jordan had started in the cast 2 days prior because this was just this past Thursday. And so all day I had like butterflies in my stomach. I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to see Jeremy Jordan today for the first time. Like, oh, it'll be a dream come true if I see him. And spoiler alert, he wasn't there. But I was adamant about making it to the pre-show because Little Shop was performing the pre-show. And so I got some Chick-fil-A and I know, bad New Yorker, but actually I haven't had any fast food since I've been here. And so that was kind of a nice reprieve to get some Chick-fil-A. I got a salad though, so it wasn't crazy fast food, but it was nice to have like a familiar taste because there's not just like, unless you're in Times Square, there's not a lot of like appetizing fast food places, at least like not to me. Like there's no In-N-Out. There's a Cane's in Times Square right now, but like something about eating in Times Square like gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like it makes my stomach be like, ugh, I don't think it's gonna be good. But anyways, back to the story. I hope y'all like enjoy my little spirals that I have on here because like since it's just like me word vomiting here, I'm doing it right now, but since it's just me like word vomiting into the podcast and it's not like a two-person back-and-forth conversation. I just like, go on, go on, go on. But I think that at this point, we're at episode 56. I think that y'all probably, like, are used to this by now. So hopefully y'all enjoy these, like, little detours I take us on. But anyways, so I picked up Chick-fil-A, and I got to Bryant Park early at, like, 12:15, and the little shop got on stage like right away, and I was like, oh my god, am I gonna see Jeremy Jordan? They had the girls come out and sing Little Shop of Horrors, which was so cute. And you know what I didn't know, because I haven't ever seen Little Shop, is that the song from Hairspray, the hey, look out for that moving van, look out, look out, look out, look out, she was a new girl in town, knew the guy on the string. The new girl in town can't be more than 16. That song from Hairspray pulls so much from the Little Shop song, because they both go, look out, look out, look out, look out. And then they both like have like the rhythm to it are identical. I don't know if y'all have already known this, and y'all are like, yeah, Lindsay, wake up, we've known this. But I was listening to it, I was like, oh, is Hairspray like a spinoff of this? So anyways, I need to do a deep dive on that, because ever since I realized that, I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's something I had no idea about. So that was a surprise. And the girls who sang that song were so cute and so spunky, and I loved what they put into it. It was really, really good. And then they came out and sang Suddenly Seymour, Joy Woods, and her counterpart. I do not know his name at this moment. But it was not Jeremy Jordan, unfortunately. But he was really good and really sweet and nice. And then, of course, Joy Woods is the star of the show. Like, she's such a star. Joy Woods, she played Catherine Parr in Six, is what she's known really well for. And she's very beloved in the Broadway community. And now that I've heard her sing, I can certainly see why. So that was very enjoyable. She is a powerhouse. She was very, very good. And then next up was Anne Juliet. And they sang I Kissed a Girl and Domino. And guys, I haven't seen Anne Juliet. It hasn't been a show that I've been like sprinting to the theater to go and see. If it was, I would have seen it at this point. And the tickets are somewhat out of my price range. And so if I win the lottery, I might be inclined to go and see it. And after their Tony performance, I really was like, okay, I want to see this show because I think I'll really enjoy it. But I just don't know. And you can't fully judge a show based on their Broadway and Bryant Park performance, because the acoustics aren't great. They're not going full out. They're not in costume. They're not in glam. They're not doing all of their choreography. So you can't fully judge it. And they don't have their set or anything like that. It's literally just the performers owning the stage, which in and of itself is pretty incredible. However, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I enjoyed the performance. We had Justin David Sullivan, and it might have been Michael Ivan Carrier. I think it might have been them, but I'm not quite positive. But they were singing I Kissed a Girl, and it was good. It was cute. I loved it. I loved the fun of the song. And then they sang Domino, which, like, Jesse J, like, in my head, I loved Domino. Like, that was my anthem whenever it came out in, like, what, 2012? But now, like, I just, like, can't legitimately listen to that song without thinking of, like, the hilarity that is, like, the character of Jessie J. If you know, you know. Her singing, break it down. No. If you know, you know. But Jessie J is, like, quite the character. And so, while you'll know all the songs in Anne Juliet, doesn't mean like that they're still relevant and like likable. And we heard Betsy Wolf came out for the Domino song, so that was really cool because I've never gotten to hear her sing. So that was nice. Like, I'll go to Anne Juliet if they'll have me, but I'm not like sprinting to the theater. And I'm sure, I mean, I'll eat my words whenever I go and see it, right? Y'all know me. I'm gonna go see it and then I'm gonna be obsessed. So you know how it goes. And then after Anne Juliet, they had Back to the Future come on, and this is when I had to leave, unfortunately. I was excited for it because it's in previews, and so it was like a really a first look of Back to the Future. But I had to get back to work because your girl was on her lunch break, and I made it there early to go and see Jeremy Jordan, who I did not see, unfortunately. But it's okay, I will. I have my boyfriend's word, because last night, well, okay, now we're moving on to the next piece of business we need to talk about. I won the lottery for The Play That Goes Wrong. And so to finish my previous train of thought, last night after the show, it ended kind of early. It's not like a super duper long show. We got out at like 10:15. And so I was like, let's go to a stage door. Let's go see somebody. And I was like, let's go to the West Side Theater. We can go see Jeremy Jordan at the stage door. And Reed was like starving, and so was I. And so we were like, okay, fine, we won't go. And I was like, but can I get your word that we're going to go and see him, please? Can I like get your word that we're gonna go? And he was like, yeah, we'll go. And I was like, yes. Okay, so I'll see Jeremy Jordan eventually. It's in the cards. And then we're also going to talk about a little piece of Broadway news. Everything is like tied in for this episode. This is crazy. Everything ties together. But a piece of Broadway news is another reason that I will see Jeremy Jordan. But we will get to that. First off, let's talk about The Play That Goes Wrong. So the reason that we were so quick to go see The Play That Goes Wrong is because we just saw Peter Pan Goes Wrong, I believe like two episodes ago, if you want to go back and listen to our recap of that. But we absolutely loved it. It was so flipping hilarious, and it was our precise brand of comedy that we were just rolling laughing the entire time. The cast was incredible. The book, the story, like everything, it was so freaking funny. I couldn't have even made it better if I tried. I loved every single second. So we had to go see what it is a spinoff of, which is The Play That Goes Wrong. So The Play That Goes Wrong is by the Mischief cast, and it's written by the same people, performed, I think like the cast's kind of overlap sometimes, but it's all kind of from the same brand. And so we were really excited to see it, and it was funny from the moment that we sat down because we were in the very front row on the aisle, and I sat on the seat that was like inside the aisle, and Reed, my boyfriend slash editor, shout out, was on like the direct aisle. We sit down, we barely even settle in, and right when we walk in, they say, okay, no recording the actors, da 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 da. And spoiler, anybody who's seen these shows know that shit goes awry, pardon my French, immediately. Like, so right when you sit down, people are, the cast or the crew, they're running around asking people if they've seen a hammer. They're asking like for people to plug stuff in, and they're like trying to put the set together on stage still. And you can, and like we went to the restroom right when we got there, and they were like yelling in the like before you even get into the theater itself, they're in like the hallways leading to the theater, they're yelling, Winston, where are you, Winston? And like everybody's running around. It's chaos and it's hilarious. And so right when we get to our seats, we sit down front row. Wow, we're close to the stage. We're literally in their laps, kind of crazy. And I was nervous because sometimes they interact with the audience. And I was like, I don't love that pressure. I do not like being put in an improv, but I'll play along. And I was trying to have an open mind, but I was like, if they really try to interact with us, like I'm gonna croak. Like I can't do this. And but right when we sit down, the girl who was in the cast slash crew, she's in the cast, but she's acting like she's a crew member. She comes over to Reed and she says, hey, could you please help me? And Reed's like, yeah, sure. And so she brings him on stage, and he, oh my God, it was crazy. Like Reed was the only person, the only audience member who was called up on stage. It was so hilarious. And he was asked to hold up a mantelpiece that kept falling down and falling down and falling down. So he's holding it up there and she like disappears. So he's like on stage by himself, just holding it up. And then out comes this other cast member slash crew member, Trevor. And he's like, dude, what are you doing? Come help me sweep. And so the guy, Trevor, he grabs the mantelpiece and he props open the door with it because the door kept like slamming open and shut and open and shut. He asks Reed to help him sweep. And so Reed starts sweeping the stage, and then in comes the girl and she's like, okay, I got some tape. Let's put up the mantle. And so then they get the mantle again, and Reed's like running around with them the whole time. It's so hilarious. And she tapes up the mantle, and then Trevor comes out and he's like, dude, what's with the sweeping? Come on. And Reed was like, ask her. Like he's just being pulled in all of these different directions. And the girl's like, okay, can you go grab my toolbox? And so Reed goes and grabs the toolbox. He can't pick it up. It's like glued to the stage. And then she's like, okay, I'll get it. Hold on. And can you hold this up? And so Reed runs back to hold up the mantle. She goes, picks up the toolbox oh so easily. Like it came undone from whatever it was stuck to. And then what happened after that? Oh yeah, I forgot to say that whenever Reed was like helping sweep, the broom completely fell apart. So everything was going wrong, and they were just playing around with him, and then he sat back down, and then the show started, and it was hilarious. So The Play That Goes Wrong is definitely like more of a subdued version of like the Peter Pan Goes Wrong. Peter Pan Goes Wrong felt like it had a huge budget. The set was like wild. It was really a really good set. And this one was a little more like pulled back and not quite as, it didn't deliver for me quite as much as Peter Pan Goes Wrong did. And I feel like that's because The Play That Goes Wrong has been on Broadway for a while. It just needs to appease a lot of people whenever it's meant to be on Broadway for a long time. And then their little one-off spinoffs can be a little more hectic and crazy because there's not so much weighing on it. But at the end of the day, like I would 10 times over bring people back to go see Peter Pan Goes Wrong and not the play that goes wrong. Because while it was funny and while it was still a really fun experience and it was good and the seats are affordable, it just wasn't like the precise brand of comedy that was so spot on and so incredibly hilarious that Peter Pan Goes Wrong had. So while I would still certainly recommend it, it wasn't quite as awesome as Peter Pan Goes Wrong, in my opinion. But it was still really good, and I would definitely still recommend going, but I'm not going to like be pulling people to go and see it with me like I would have for Peter Pan. Anyways, that being said, I really, really loved some like little nuances that it had, which was like none of the actors were mic'd. It was like a proper play, and they're acting like they're a university that has like a really bad rap for like putting on these terrible productions where people die or things just go wrong, obviously. And so it's like meant to be like a proper like low budget play. So nobody's mic'd. So the actors are actually like just projecting to the back of the audience, which is really nice because you get so used to like, I mean, I've never seen a Broadway show where the actors were not mic'd, but this is like a proper play. Like it really kind of brought you into the scenario that they're acting out when they're not mic'd, because a lot of times when you go and see regional theater or a university's show and it's in a smaller theater, they're not going to be mic'd. So I thought that was a really authentic nuance that they brought to it that I really appreciated. But other than that, it was a really fun night, and we paid $35 for our seats because we won the lottery, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And so all in all, it was totally worthwhile, and I'm really glad that we went. So yeah, that's The Play That Goes Wrong. Definitely see it. If you've seen it, let me know how you like it. And I will be running to go and see their next spinoff because I think that might be a little more up my alley for sure. With that, let's head on in to our Broadway grosses for this week, ending on July 23rd. So, Lion King is number one, Wicked is two, Hamilton is three, beating out Sweeney Todd, which is coming in at fourth, MJ is fifth, where it loves to be, Aladdin is sixth, Harry Potter is seventh, Back to the Future is at eight, they've broken back into the top 10, that's great, great for them, Funny Girl is nine, Parade is 10 because they're ending their Broadway run very, it's too soon. I wish they would extend, like what I would give for them to extend because I want to go again so bad. The tickets are so expensive though, but I'm glad they're in the top 10. Okay, so I said Parade was 9, right? Oh yeah, Parade is 10. Okay, so that means Moulin Rouge has been bumped out of the top 10. So Anne Juliet is 11, that's great. Moulin Rouge is 12. And we definitely have to, let's go ahead and like go through all of it just this once. Like we're not going to do this all the time, but there's been so much shakeup in the Broadway grosses because so many things are leaving and so many things have cut their ending short. Like they might've been on for a limited run and they've moved it up. These big musicals, I feel like, are really taking away from some of these smaller shows that just cannot fill their seats. And so they're having to end their limited engagement early, which I freaking hate. But it's just the state that we live in right now. And as of this week, a lot of things are closing, which is hard. But also a lot of things have been announced to come to Broadway. So it's a give and a take. It definitely is a give and a take. So I left off at Moulin Rouge is 12, which means Book of Mormon is 13. 6 is 14. Some Like It Hot is 15th. Goodnight Oscar, the play with Sean Hayes, is 15th. Shucked is 16th. Camelot, which just closed, is 17th. Here Lies Love is 18th. A Beautiful Noise is 19th. Hadestown is 20th. Whew, dangerous. Very dangerous right there. But they've announced that Eva Noblezada is leaving the cast, which was quite a shock. And they've announced who's coming. And who is it? Betsy Who is coming. And I can't remember off the top of my head. But there's some casting changes, which is always going to produce a spike if it's a good casting change. And so hopefully Hadestown will spike again. But guys, it's dangerously low. It's not going to stick around for much longer. And I'm pretty confident about that. Kimberly Akimbo, where did I leave off? Okay, hold on. Okay, I think my counting was off because Hadestown is 21. Kimberly Akimbo is 22. New York. It's 23, Beneath Kimberly Akimbo. Chicago is 24. Life of Pi, which is closing, is 25th. Once Upon a One More Time is 26th. Guys, their capacity is 50%. You go and see the show the theater's going to be halfway empty. Like, that's so bad. That sucks. Like, I've been in a halfway empty Broadway theater before whenever I went and saw POTUS, which made me so very sad because that was a great play. And it just lacks so much energy. Like, you can feel the fact that the audience is halfway empty because it's just like, there's not belly laughs. There's not loud interactions from the audience. And like, you can feel the emptiness and it's just like kind of ominous. And so Once Upon a One More Time, guys, is flopping and they are flopping hard. Peter Pan Goes Wrong, which just closed. They're beneath Once Upon a One More Time. I'm not even counting anymore because I've lost count. And then it's Just for Us, which is a comedy show, and it's doing great for where it's at, is beneath Peter Pan Goes Wrong. And then Grey House, which just closed. They finished out their run at the bottom. Pretty sad. But we'll report back next week because I think their finished run will be next week's Broadway grosses. So maybe they'll have a spike. And then The Cottage is beneath that, which is playing in a very, very small theater. So that's all good and fine. But what we really need to focus on, because it's what I care about, is the musicals here. So Once Upon a One More Time is definitely not going to stick around for anytime, literally anytime. They're going to make room for something else in the Marquee Theater for sure. And then Chicago, I mean, it's such a surprise because, I mean, Chicago's been at the bottom for forever, but it is the longest running Broadway show right now. And it's got no capacity. So once they announce their closing, it will be very similar to Phantom of the Opera for sure. And seats will fill right back up and maybe they'll extend a few times. I feel like it's going to be very similar to the way Phantom progressed in their closing when they kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And then they were at the top of the grosses week to week, which was good for them. Like, that's great for a show that's been on Broadway and is so beloved. But everybody gets kind of stagnant. They're like, okay, it's always been on Broadway. Why do I need to rush to go see it when I can go see something new like Schacht or Anne Juliet, which I agree with. I totally agree with. But once they announce their closing, they'll see a major spike, and I think it's probably time, honestly. We don't need to milk the cow. We don't need to milk what isn't there, okay? We don't need to milk it. So let's just close, and let's bring something new on, and get your coin whenever you announce your closing, and everybody flocks to the theater. Like, come on now. Okay, guys, let's head into our Broadway news. First thing I want to speak on, I guess it kind of, I was going to do this story second, but since we just got out of Broadway grosses and we saw it's very low standing, let's talk about the fact that New York, New York has announced their closing. By the time that this episode comes out, it will have already closed because they only gave us a week's notice. I believe I saw somewhere that they have to give the cast a 2-week notice. So they must have told the cast and told everybody keep it hush hush and held on to that information. And then they announced it to the public a week before its closing that it was going to close, which I don't really understand why you would decide to do that, because once something announces that it's closing, usually they see such a major spike. And so wouldn't you want to milk that for all of its that it's worth? But whatever, I guess that wasn't very opportunistic to them. But at the end of the day, I think we can all agree that we are certainly not surprised that New York, New York is closing. But I am surprised that it's closing so soon and they didn't want to try just a few more things out before just cutting it off. So this show only opened at the end of April, and it's closing on July 30th. So by the time it's closed, it will only have been open for about 3 months and just over 100 performances. This show did not have an off-Broadway tryout. They neglected to do it because I heard that it was too expensive, which I don't understand because this had an astronomical budget. It was one of the most expensive Broadway shows of the season, coming in with a budget of $20 to $25 million, it's assumed. And so it's really shocking that they would say, like, it's not in the budget to have an off-Broadway tryout, but I think that they thought they had something that was golden. I don't understand why else they would have gone forth with it, because anybody who knows Broadway knows that it's so easy to flop. You can think that you have something that is so incredible, or you can think that you have something that may play out well or may not. Like in Rent, they were like, okay, it did so well in off-Broadway. Is it suited for Broadway? We don't know. Let's try, because that was always Jonathan Larson's dream. So let's try to bring it to Broadway. And then it blew up, but it could have certainly gone the other way. We've talked about so many shows on here that are so beloved now and so well done and so loved that flopped when they were on Broadway, i.e. Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd flopped whenever it first came out, and now it's one of the greatest musicals ever. So, I don't understand why you would think you have a hit. Honestly, like, how could you be so confident? I don't understand. But it's probably just because they had enough money to keep it on for a little while. And they thought that it was going to pay off. But it didn't. And that's just the nature of Broadway. You don't know what is going to pay off and be a hit, and you don't know what's going to flop. And this was probably going to go down in the books as one of the biggest flops ever, which sucks. And I would have thought we had a hit too. It was a Candor-Ebb musical, had Lin-Manuel's help with the lyrics and Lin-Manuel marketing for it. He was marketing hard. He was giving out tickets at the drama bookshop. He was doing everything that he could have done to keep the show on and bring in patrons to the audience. But at the end of the day, I saw the show because I drank the Kool-Aid and thought that it was going to be great. And I walked out of there and I just was like, it's basic. Like, it's not deep. It's giving a snapshot of New York without any real heart and soul and culture. It was basic. The music at times, I was like, this is a beautiful song, of course. And you can't deny that. You can't deny that the music was really good. And I'll tell you what, the orchestrations are what really stood out for me in this musical. I've listened to the cast album and I love the instrumental songs, just the instrumental songs. They're like all of the seasons of New York. So it's like fall in New York, summer in New York. And that's like the greatest part of the musical is just the orchestrations. Other than that, like the story itself, I completely dislike. I did not like that Anna Uzella's character, what's her name? I want to say Vivian, but I don't think that's right. Her character is the star and she's wonderful and you care for her and you grow to love her. And then Colton Ryan's character, Jimmy Doyle, sucks. He's an alcoholic and he's trash and he doesn't treat her well and he's not a good person and he's weird and I don't know. I don't like him at all. And then they go together and you're like, she is so much better than him. He doesn't deserve her. Why are we supposed to be rooting for this relationship? Like, I completely disagree with, like, rooting for that relationship because it was toxic and she was, like, amazing and, like, she was up here and he was, like, down here. Like, anybody who sees the show, and maybe it's like this in the movie, and I have not seen the movie New York, New York, but anybody who sees the show, hopefully you understand what I'm trying to say here, is that the whole thing that you're supposed to be rooting for in the show is not worthy of rooting for. That's how I felt. Like, it's not a love story for the ages. It's like, no, they shouldn't be together. It's not a good situation. And then there's like two other plots. Like, there's three storylines. It's just so convoluted. It is a convoluted, convoluted story. They needed to only focus on either one or maybe two storylines. It's so weird to have three very different plot lines. And one of the plot lines doesn't even begin to like correlate with the other two. Two of them do. But I think we could even be, they should have gone with just two. They should have definitely turned away from, there's this woman whose son is in the army and she's a violinist and she's teaching this immigrant how to play the violin. It's a great story. That can be a separate musical. That doesn't need to be in this musical. That can be in its own musical. It was so convoluted, everything. So I'm by no means surprised that this didn't last. But I'm just surprised that it didn't last a little bit longer considering how much money was put into it. I did want to point out that at Broadway and Bryant Park, New York, New York did perform this past week. And this was after the announcement that it was closing. And Colton Ryan was singing Music Money Love, which is arguably the best song in the musical. And at one point he's like, he's singing about where you can make it. He's like, from the subway to the bus stop, to even on Broadway. And then he says, he cuts in for what it's worth. He's like, and even on Broadway for what it's worth. And then he continues and he like laughs. I don't know. It was kind of like an awkward situation. Like, I don't know. I don't know what his feelings are about the subject of them closing on Broadway or if he's like holding it against it kind of sounded like he was like blaming Broadway for their closing and not the path that they've been on this entire time that eventually resulted in their closing. It was interesting. I'm not going to make any accusations here, but go and watch the video because to me, I was like, that's awkward. And I don't know. Just go check it out. I'll put it in the show notes. But yeah, I loved the other performances of New York, New York. I thought it was very good, that they did a very good job. I think that's all we have to say about New York closing. Not much else to say, but it's definitely an interesting scenario that hopefully we've learned our lessons. I really hope we did, that we need a Broadway tryout. Doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how much of a hit you think you have on your hands, a Broadway tryout can really teach you a lot about what the audience thinks and about the quality of your show. Period. Okay, moving on. We got some very exciting news. Very, 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 very exciting news, and it all comes so clear why Jeremy Jordan is only gonna be in Little Shop for 8 weeks. Ba-da-da. It is because he is going to be joining the cast of The Great Gatsby at the Paper Mill Playhouse. And opposite of him, like, I could not have casted this better in my head. Like, in all of my wildest dreams of a dream cast, I probably would have never put these two together. But now that it's happening, it's all so obvious that this is what we needed all along. Jeremy Jordan and Eva Noblezada. Jeremy will be playing Gatsby and Eva Noblezada will be playing Daisy. It is a match made in heaven. Oh my God, I can already see the cast album now and how freaking glorious it's gonna be. I'm so excited. So this show of The Great Gatsby is going to be playing from October 12th to November 12th. So a solid month. It's like opening, I think on October 20th or October 22nd. I am going, period. Like, I have got to go and see this. I love The Great Gatsby. Eva Noblezada is one of the greatest Broadway greats of our generation. Her voice is the smoothest and most melodic voice that I've probably ever heard. And of course, I love Jeremy Jordan. He's number one Broadway boyfriend. No, number two, behind Aaron Tveit, for sure. So tickets are going to go on sale on August 14th. So stay tuned. I will be reloading and refreshing and getting those tickets for sure. I can't decide if I want to go to like the first preview or the first opening night. I love a preview. Like, love. So yeah, let's learn a little bit about this version of The Great Gatsby, because there are two versions that are running around right now that it has gotten out of the public domain and it's open for interpretation, whether that be a musical or whatever, what have you. And so there's another one that I'm not privy to at this moment because I haven't heard any like fresh news on it, but we'll be tracking both because I kind of like these dueling Great Gatsbys. It's kind of cool. And I kind of want to root for the underdog, but I feel like this one is not the underdog. I feel like the other one is the underdog because this one has got an incredible team behind it. And when I say incredible, I mean, we have the musical writers from Paradise Square. A lot of singing in this episode. You are so welcome. But yes, guys, we have the writers, the music writers from Paradise Square, Jason Howland and Nathan Tyson. They wrote the music and the lyrics, and they will be writing it for The Great Gatsby. Paradise Square was such an incredible... I'm going on a quick tangent. Paradise Square was such an incredible musical, like literally obsessed. Where's the cast album? I will pay my own money. I will make a hefty donation because I want this cast album and I want the cast to also get their coin too. But these are amazing musical writers, and the fact that they're now doing The Great Gatsby, one of my favorite stories, makes me so happy. It gives me so much hope. And so, yes, we're very excited. We have a book by Kate Carrigan, and she wrote The Mad Ones, which I haven't heard of. The director is Mark Bruni, and he was the director for Beautiful, a Carole King musical, which was a major hit. So that's very positive there. Our choreographer is Dominique Kelly, and he was the choreographer for La La Land, Princess and the Frog, the movie, which I didn't ever think about the fact that animated movies had choreographers. Which, like, duh, but I never thought about that. It's really interesting to me. And then we have Desmond Edmonds, who's going to be the music director, who is also the music director for Shucked and Paradise Square. So that's pretty awesome. We've got an all-star team. That's why I feel like the other Gatsby's probably the underdog. But of course, I want to root for and support them as well. But this one is going to be mwah, chef's kiss, and I'm so excited about it. Okay, my dear friends, it is now time to head on in to our story from the stage, the ultimate guide to the Broadway lottery. Let's draw the curtain. In this ultimate guide, we are going to be talking about how the Broadway lottery started, just very briefly, so y'all can have an understanding of that. My personal experience using the lottery system, both here in New York City and for national tours whenever I was living in Fort Worth, and essentially how all of the different websites work, the pros and cons. And to finish off, I want to hear y'all's experience with the lottery system. If you've liked it, if it's worked for you, what sort of luck that you've had, tell me about it. I'd love to hear. You can find me on any social media, TikTok, Instagram, at From the Mezzanine. So the lottery first started back in the 90s. It really took off with What Show Do You Think? What show do you think the lottery took off with where it was necessary for there to be very affordable tickets? I said the 90s. Okay, there's a hint. It was Rent. We talk about it in my Rent episode. I think it was episode 48, possibly. Maybe, no, 42, maybe. And so Rent posed a really unique situation because, like I mentioned earlier, it was off-Broadway, and it was a hit with all the affordable tickets, and most of their audience was very young, bohemian lifestyle. They were rowdy, they were fun, and they weren't gonna pay $65 for a ticket. Absolutely not. And Rent took notes from another Broadway show that was doing somewhat of a lottery system at the time. They were selling the last two rows of the theater for a very discounted price. So Rent kind of turned that on its head and said, okay, we want to do something amazing for our incredible viewers and fans. We want to sell our front two rows, and that way our ruckus, crazy fans who are our Rent heads, as they were called, are on the front row giving the energy and the power and just causing commotion, and that way it'll have that effect on all of the other typical Broadway goers, the fancy people, all the way to the back of the audience. So everybody is going to have a lively, energetic time, and we're not going to put our greatest fans in the back of the theater in the only place they can afford. No, we're going to bring them all the way to the front. So that was a new concept, new idea, and it paid off for them. It was very common for after like a Saturday matinee, you would already see lines of Rent heads camping outside of the theater for the next day's evening performance. Like, these people were no joke. They were crazy about it. And it was a very affordable ticket to go and see the show that they love on Broadway. And we all know the hit that Rent was. It was the hottest ticket in town. And so eventually they made the decision that instead of having people camp out for the lottery, they would just hold a drawing 2 hours before curtain because they were worried about the safety of the people who were camping out in Times Square in the 90s. It wasn't exactly a safe environment. And they also didn't want people to be turned away from going and seeing Rent because they knew that they would have to like step over all of these campsites essentially. So they went into like a true lottery system of 2 hours before the show, they would hold a drawing, then there would be monstrous crowds out there waiting. But this also meant that there wasn't any reason to like get out there hours beforehand, and anybody could enter the drawing. So this was truly the first lottery that became a major hit that was marketed towards people who maybe can't afford a typical Broadway ticket, or the people who kind of want to take their chances and see, okay, I'll enter this show. I might win, I might not. And if I win, I'll get to go. And if I don't, I won't. That's kind of just the situation that you get put in. So personally, I would not recommend, if you're going to be in New York for, say, a week, if you're wanting to see certain Broadway shows, say you're like, I have to go see Wicked, I have to go see Sweeney Todd, but for the other 3 days, I don't really have an opinion on what I want to see, then you probably should purchase the Sweeney Todd and the Wicked tickets, even though they are so expensive and maybe the lottery tickets are about $45. The odds that you're going to win those very high-valued tickets are very, very low. But I would recommend going ahead, buying the tickets that you have to, that you're adamant on seeing, enter the lottery for quite literally every single other show that is on Broadway, because then your chances are much higher of getting to see something, and seeing something is better than seeing nothing, of course. So that's what I would recommend. Also, living in New York, I have the luxury of, or like if you're at least like an hour away, 2 hours away, I have the luxury of being able to enter a lottery on the weekdays when there's gonna be a lot less entry than on the weekends. And so you're going to have a lot more luck if you enter the lottery on the days that aren't quite so busy on Broadway. And so that's definitely a tip that I would recommend doing. Now, there are probably a few other lottery systems in what I'm going to mention today, but we're going to focus on the major three, which are Lucky Seat, Broadway Direct, and Telecharge. Now, it might be because it's a Schubert versus a Nederlander theater. I don't know the specific reason why certain shows are only on certain lottery sites, but Lucky Seat, for example, is probably the one that I've used the most and had the most experience with. Lucky Seat has like Moulin Rouge on it. It has a lot of the national tours on it. So whenever I lived in Dallas, I used Lucky Seat every single week. That's how I was going and seeing most of my shows, because anything that came through Dallas did a lottery pretty much. Pretty much everything. Not everything, but pretty much everything did a lottery on Lucky Seat. And so Lucky Seat's really great for if you don't live in New York and you want to see the touring shows that are coming to you. You simply have to make an account. And then when you know that, say, Book of Mormon is coming to your town, you know that you need to get on there, and you can enter only the times and the days that you're available, but you can only win up to two tickets. You can win one or two. You cannot win enough for your whole entire family. You can only win one or two. So I would recommend having your family get accounts too and having them enter. All you have to do is have either a different email or a different phone number. And so you just make an account, you enter, and typically the lottery opens about a week before the actual performance date. And so you will know if you've won at least typically the day before the show. But you have to snatch the tickets up quick, because if you do not see your text or your email notifying you that you won, they will be put back onto the market if you don't purchase the tickets within about 3 hours. Now, I know this is information overload, so if you have any questions, please, I'm happy to help. Just go message me on Instagram or TikTok, and I'm happy to help you guys out with the lottery system, because I know it can be overwhelming, and I know that there can be a lot of little stipulations to it. But that's Lucky Seat. Lucky Seat is great. Here in New York, Moulin Rouge is on Lucky Seat. Book of Mormon is on Lucky Seat. New York is on Lucky Seat, for what it's worth. And one more, Oh Funny Girl is on Lucky Seat. So those four shows, maybe it's because they're all in Jujimison theaters, I'm not sure why, those four shows are all on Lucky Seat. So you can, whenever you come and visit, you can go on there for your lottery tickets there. Broadway Direct, I think this is with the Schubert organization, and so they have all of their shows on there. It's Sweeney Todd, it's Shucked, it's Six. There's a slew of lottery shows that are on Broadway Direct. Now, I have never won a ticket through Broadway Direct. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they open the lottery and sometimes don't have seats available. I also haven't been entering like a ton for all of their shows, but I've definitely been doing it a lot and I've never ever won. So I think the odds might be a little less with Broadway Direct. Plus, they might just have a lot of the really popular shows on their website. But this one I don't have quite as much experience with, so I don't want to give too much insight and not be speaking the truth, obviously. But it's a typical lottery system. You have to enter your information for this one. You don't have an account. You don't set up an account with them. You just enter all your information every time you enter the lottery, and I think it's still just one or two tickets that you can win, but this one you have to enter the lottery literally the day before the show. So if you want to go see the show on Saturday, you need to enter the lottery on Friday. It's a little bit different on certain days, but for the most part, that's what I have observed. It is a quick turnaround. And with all of these, if you don't buy the tickets in like up to 3 hours, they will be put back out and given out to the next person in line. So you have to be able to like snatch them up super duper quick. And then Telecharge is something that I've been winning a lot on while I've been in New York. So I'd really recommend using Telecharge. That's how we won Peter Pan Goes Wrong and The Play That Goes Wrong. Do we win? I feel like we've won other stuff on here, but I feel like my odds have been really, really good on Telecharge. And this one is similar to Broadway Direct. You have to enter the day before and you have to buy the tickets in, it's got a little more time for you to buy the tickets. I want to say like 6 to 8 hours you have to buy the tickets in. And yeah, like I said, I've had a lot of luck on this one. And additionally, there's one more website that I want to harp on a little bit, but it's more well known for rush tickets as opposed to lottery tickets, which are different. They're not the same. Rush tickets you can just buy. It's not a lottery system. They'll have like a certain amount that are available and you can just buy them through their app. The app is called Today Ticks. Now, some things are a lottery system on here, but for the most part, it's just known for rush tickets. It's a good app to have and to check if you're in New York and to see what you could enter or some. They have a lot of deals. It's also just known for like their ticket deals. And I'm not sure if they're great deals. I think sometimes they are, but for the most part, it seems to be like a similar deal that you can just get on any website when you're buying your tickets. But this is good for like the public theaters. Hamlet right now, they're giving away free tickets on this app. And you just have to enter to win at before like 12 o'clock and then you'll win by 3 and the show is that day. So this is same day lottery. But that's kind of like the thing about lottery tickets. It's very quick turnaround. You have to just kind of drop everything and go see the show if you win, because you'll know if you won the tickets sometimes day of. So it is a super quick turnaround. But that one, once again, is called Today Ticks. And that's a really good app just to have and to check and see if you can get some good deals before you just purchase your ticket through like a typical StubHub or the Telecharge website or something like that. You can just check with Today Ticks to make sure that you're getting the best deal for your ticket. Aside from all of these digital lotteries, there are also in-person lotteries. Now, I have never, ever done this, and not all Broadway productions offer an in-person lottery. It's just a select few, but you can check with the theater's box office the day of, and you can find out when you need to be outside of the theater in order to participate in the lottery. Typically, you can go in person about 2 or 3 hours before the show. The later that you go, the less likely your chances are of getting lottery tickets. Now, when I'm talking about this, I think this is similar to also rush tickets. I think those might be interchangeable in this situation because it's not really a lottery system. You're just going to purchase them if they have them available. But you also have to be pretty tenacious. You have to get there early and you're going to probably wait in a line if it's a really appealing show. I know some of these shows have lines out the door for these rush tickets that go on sale just a few hours before the show. And the costs vary. They can vary from anywhere between 20, 10 in the case of Hamilton, but up to like 45 to like 65 for Wicked, which is quite a deal for a Wicked ticket. But also I want to let you guys know, another quick tip is that students and educators can sometimes even get a better deal. So make sure if you're a student or an educator, you have your ID on you because they can help you out there to get a really good deal on tickets as well. So now let's just weigh some of the pros and cons of the lottery system. One of the major pros is that it is a very, very affordable way to see Broadway shows. People are always telling me, yeah, I love Broadway, but I can't afford to go and see these shows. How do you do it? It is the lottery. I just win whatever I happen to win and I go and see the show. Whether it's a show that's even on my list of things wanting to see, I'd rather see a show than no show at all. And so it's a very affordable way to get more playbills and see more shows and be more in the theater culture. And so it is without a doubt worthwhile to participate in the lottery system just for the affordability concept. Like if nothing else, just for the fact that your wallet's hurting a lot less when you try for the lottery before just purchasing all of the tickets online. But that being said, one of the major cons is that there's a very high probability that you will not win and will not get to see the show at all. So you just have to weigh that. That's why I say if you aren't picky on what show you want to see, just enter every single lottery and you'll have really good odds of winning something. Another major pro for the lottery system is that typically it's incredible seats for the money. Like I said yesterday for The Play That Goes Wrong, we were front row. Almost always we're in the orchestra towards the front. When we saw Hamilton one time, we were in a box seat. These are incredible seats. Sometimes they might be a little bit limited view because as you know, if you're in the front row, sometimes you can't see what's going on the opposite side of the stage. But for the most part, it's way better than what I would have paid being in the very back of the theater, if you know what I mean. And so yeah, you're gonna have incredible seats no matter what. But however, a con is that they do disclose, especially with Lucky Seat in particular, you will not know where you're sitting before you go to box office and collect your tickets. So it's really exciting because you get your tickets and you're like, oh my God, we're in the orchestra, yay. But at the same time, you don't know if you're sitting with the person that you're going with. They do tell you ahead of time, hey, you might not be seated together and you just have to accept that and be okay with that because I've never had that experience. I've always been seated next to the person that I came with. And we've also we have a creeping suspicion that if you arrive really early and collect your tickets from the box office early, you're gonna have better seats and they're going to give you like better tickets than if you went like 10 minutes before the show, grabbed the tickets and went. I think they give away the better seats first and save the worst seats for the later arrivals. So definitely get there early if you're using Lucky Seat and you don't know where you're sitting. But with Telecharge, you know your seats right when you buy them, which is really, really nice. Another pro of the lottery system is that sometimes you can enter for one show multiple times. Like with Sweeney Todd, sometimes they have like four lottery entries. So you can enter multiple times and your odds can be even greater. So there's a lot of little tips and tricks to the lottery system. But a con of this situation is that there's also a quick turnaround. If you win, you have to buy those tickets right away. Like I said, within 3 to like 8 hours. And so if you had plans, no, you don't. Like throw your plans out the window and go and see the show. If you enter the lottery. But if you enter the lottery, you're not required to purchase the ticket. So you can enter, and then if something comes up and you win and you can't go, it's no big deal. They'll just give it to the next person in line. Okay, and with that, that sums up our Ultimate Broadway Lottery Guide. I really hope that this was super helpful. I love the lottery. I can attribute probably half of my playbills this year to the Broadway Lottery. It's such a great thing for theater accessibility and affordability and getting to go and see these shows that you otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to go and see. There's no way I can afford to see as many shows that I do. Simply, I cannot. But the fact that the Broadway Lottery has my back and I enter so many things, whether it be on Today Tix, Telecharge, Broadway Direct, or Lucky Seat, ultimately you're gonna experience some luck with something. So I would say just give them all a try. You can do it for national tours. You can do it for Broadway shows here. Lucky Seat's great for national tours. So wherever you are in the country or across the sea, definitely try it. Try it out. And I hope that you have some luck with it like I have. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of From the Mezzanine. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please leave me a 5-star review wherever you are listening today. I'm serious, guys. It helps out so much and it makes me so happy whenever I see all of y'all's reviews. Also, please share this episode with a theater-loving friend and maybe educate them about the lottery Broadway system so that y'all can go and see a show together sometime soon. Yay, so fun. Please find me on TikTok and Instagram at From the Mezzanine. Links to all of my social media is in my show notes below, or you can simply type in From the Mezzanine. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you again next Tuesday. Bye.